Well, good morning. Welcome to each of you. So glad that you joined us today. Just got a couple announcements this morning, and then we're going to open up in prayer and keep doing what we're doing, and that's praising Jesus. I really love that line in the song that says, because I know where I'd be without your mercy. Often you hear the term, I don't know where I'd be without your mercy, but I know exactly where I'd be without Jesus. I would still be dead in my sins and my trespasses. I'd still be lost and helpless and hopeless without him. So I'm so thankful for our good God and his mercy and love towards us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Just a couple announcements for real quick. There aren't many today. As you can see, we're doing something a little different this morning. So that means that after our service, there's not going to be our typical time of fellowship and Discovery Land and adult Sunday school. Instead, after we get done worshiping our great God, we are going to move that way and have a bunch of great food that has been prepared and have good fellowship. And so I hope that you will join us for that. I just want to say there's a lot of different people today that are doing a lot of different things. We got people that are working back in the sound booth. We got these guys up here, and then we got a bunch of people working back in the kitchen. And can we just like have a moment? Not just that, we got people on the parking lot that are meeting people and praying. So could we just have a moment and just give them a round of applause? We are very, very thankful for everybody who has stepped up and served this morning and prepared the food. I think the grill is going right now. So if your tummy starts rumbling, we got like an hour and so, all right? So just hang out, okay? The other announcements is if you are interested in baptism or membership, those are calling faith their home, just head on out to the Welcome Center. Deb could answer any and all questions you have, so try her. She'll just give her a question. She's got it, all right? But you can sign up for there. And then if this is your first week at Faith ever, we are so glad to have you here. We're so thankful that you are here. Stop by the Welcome Center and get some information about our church, and hopefully next week you'll return as well and be with us as we continue to worship the Lord together. I wanted to pray, and then we'll get right back to worshiping our God. Father, we thank you so much for this morning that you've given us. Lord, we thank you that we can come together to worship you. You are the only one who is worthy of honor and praise and worship. So, Father, we pray that anything that happens this morning, it's about you and you alone. Would you draw us closer to yourself? Would you deepen our walks with you? And, Father, everything that takes place from here on out, I pray that you would work in our hearts and our minds this morning. Allow us to leave this room changed. We don't want to walk out these doors the same way that we walked in. So, Lord, do a work in us, and we thank you so much for Jesus. It's only because of him that we can be here. It's only because of him that we have been adopted as your sons and daughters. And, Father, we thank you so much for that. Pray, Lord, that as we continue to worship you in singing and in prayer, and as we open up the word later, Father, as we worship you, may it be pleasing to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello. Glad to see everybody here this morning. My name is Tim Ziegler. I'm a member of the local CMA chapter, Revelation Writers. I've been in CMA 7 years. I'm a member here at Faith Community Church, and more importantly than that is I'm a child of God. Not always the case. We're going to sing a song later, and the name of it is Child of Love. And some of the words from that song, I was walking the wayside, lost on a lonely road. I was chasing the high life, trying to satisfy my soul. All the lies I believed in left me crying like the rain. Then I saw the lightning from heaven, and I've never been the same. I didn't see literal lightning from heaven, but God brought me to himself. I'm a preacher's kid. Everybody said, uh-oh. And I had a great spiritual foundation. My mom and dad are both with the Lord now, but I just thank God for the spiritual foundation that they built underneath of me. As I became a teenager, I began to doubt where I was at as far as my relationship with the Lord. And as I became an adult, I started realizing that I had the choice to live my life the way that I wanted to. We all have that choice. And I chose to walk the wayside, chase the high life for a lot of years. And God has a way. If he's tapped you on the shoulder, you can't run from him. I found that out. God brought me to my knees, put me on my face before him when I was 33 years old, and due to the failure of a marriage that I was not doing my part in. And a very humbling experience, but God caught up with me, and I praise him that he did that. I've not always lived my Christian life since then as a shining example. But once again, God has brought me back into a right relationship with him. And my involvement in CMA has done a lot for my personal relationships, my relationship with my wife and our family, since the time I've been in CMA. And I just thank God for that. Just a quick example, I had been praying about what to say at the end of my testimony this morning. God showed me that. I did a quick wash job on my bike this morning before I came in. And we're rushing to get ready to leave. And I turn my bike on, and the emergency flashers are on. And I've never used the emergency flashers on my motorcycle before. So I am freaking out. I'm pushing buttons. You know, how do I turn these things off? And I finally told Charity, my wife, I said, we just got to go. I'll figure it out as we go. And, so we took off, and, we're heading into church, and I'm pushing buttons, and I finally look to the right control, and there's a little switch. It's got an emergency flasher emblem on it. And I pushed that, and amazingly enough, the emergency flashers went off. But that was a reminder to me. God used that this morning to help me think about what we need to do. If we're Christians, we need to look at what he's given us to look at. That's his word. That's fellowship with our Christian family, CMAers, church family, other Christians that we, run into as we're out on the road or wherever. We need to look at what God has given us, his word, and pay attention to it. And if a person hasn't accepted Christ as their Savior, everything that you need is right there. We make it far too complicated as far as understanding what we need to do to have a relationship with Christ. And God has provided that for us and to us in his word. I'm going to introduce my mother-in-law. My folks are with the Lord, so I call Tracy Mom, and she calls me Timmy. And God has done a lot in my life through this lady and her husband, Barry, my father-in-law. And I thank God for them, and I'm going to turn the mic over to her, and she has a word of testimony as well.
Okay, they didn't tell me how long I had, so you're in trouble. And the pastor said, so you're going to give your testimony. Well, I was just asked this morning, okay, so I haven't had a lot of time to prepare. And I said, well, one of them, I'm not sure which one, I've been saved for 40 years. And the last 21 of them have been involved in CMA. But when we first started, my husband was not sure we were really bikers. We've been riding a motorcycle ever since we've been together, but he wasn't sure we were really bikers. So I started praying, because this was in 2000, and we were still riding a 79 Honda 750. If it was still running most of the time. But I started praying, Lord, if you want us involved in this ministry, you're going to have to get us another bike, because this is just not cutting it. And so I prayed for a year, and we got a check in the mail from a great-grandmother, inheritance from a great-grandmother who had been gone for 30 years. And that check was a big enough check to put a good down payment on a bike. And so we went looking. Now, Barry had been looking. He knew exactly what he wanted. He wanted a Valkyrie. And he knew what he wanted. We'd been looking, couldn't find one. We went to the dealer that we had been talking to of used bikes, and they were washing this beautiful Valkyrie. And I said, there's our bike. And he said, no, let's take it for a ride and see. But when we came back, yep, that was it. And we had to make payments on that bike. Any guesses as to how much I had to come up with? Oh, by the way, this was a mineral rights thing, so we got monthly payments from the mineral rights from my great-grandmother. Any guesses of how much I had to come up with for that first payment? 10 cents. Okay, Lord, I can do that. And so, you know, my husband, we got on the bike and he said, okay, God gave us the bike, so we're going to use it. And we have, and we have felt an urgency that we need to get out there. And, you know, if you are willing to do what God calls you to do, He will use you in ways you never dreamed. One, I would not have dreamed that I'd come and talk to people in front like this. But my husband and I, we go out to Sturgis every year because we live in South Dakota, and Sturgis is a big deal. You know, we have a lot of times 500,000 people come out to Sturgis. And CMA in Sturgis, we volunteer for the city. So we have different positions that we do. We have about 200 positions that we volunteer for the city to help them out. They don't have to pay us, okay, so it saves them a lot of money. But we do things like guard their parking lots and help out with the towers and help out with races and help out at the museum and so forth. But it gives us an opportunity to pray and visit with people. Courthouse parking lots are my favorite because when they're going to the courthouse, you know what? They're not in a good mood. And when you say, would you like me to pray with you? They're really open to it. Okay? Last year was really a different rally. Because of COVID, it was a very, very polite rally. And we also saw that people were really looking for hope. Okay? They were tired of being locked up, but they were looking for hope. And it was really cool because we saw that they were looking to CMAers. I want what you've got. And so we had a lot of opportunities to pray with people. And last year I had more people ask me, can I have a hug, than I have ever had before. And I was testifying, I was sharing with a friend about, you know, going there. And none of our volunteers, as far as we know, got COVID. We had over 100 volunteers. And we've talked to all of them since then. Nobody got COVID there that we know of. And she said, well, you weren't hugging people. And I said, oh, yes, we were. People were wanting hugs. They were wanting hope. And they wanted what we had. If God is calling you to get on a motorcycle, then do it. Quit arguing with him. I argued for 2 years and said, no, I don't want to do that. I like riding behind my husband. It's nice and safe. What's not to ride, you know, not to like? You kick back and enjoy the ride, right? And he said, no. And so I got my license at 49. I'm already a grandma. And he put me on my own bike. But that first year that I had my bike, I went into 3 different prisons with my motorcycle. And when we went in, before we had gone in, I was on behind my husband. And we'd have about 20 guys come and visit with us at the breaks and pray with us, okay? Well, when I went in on my own bike, he had 20 guys at his bike, and I had 20 guys at my bike. So what did we just do? We just doubled our ministry, okay? Doubled. Now, when we go to Sturgis, a lot of women are riding, and a lot of women who, I would say most of them are not Christians, but a lot of women there who ride, if you pull up behind your husband, they don't talk to you. But if you pull up on your own bike, they'll talk to you. So if you're thinking you ought to be riding, especially if you're a lady, then pray about it and get out there and learn. There's lessons. The Department of Transportation has an awesome course that'll teach you everything you need to know. But CMA is really a neat organization that we really enjoy. It's not perfect, but it does its best to stick to the Bible and to handle things the way the Bible says to handle it. And we know that God has called us to this ministry. If God's calling you to a motorcycle and this ministry, by all means, do it. It's fun. Pastor.
Thank you both for sharing. I never thought I've heard, if God was calling to you to get on a motorcycle, do it. Never thought I'd hear that on a Sunday morning. But I gotta say amen. I don't think I'm gonna get on a motorcycle, but I say amen to that because if God's calling you to do something, you gotta do it. If God's saying, I wanna use you in this way, whatever that way is, you gotta do it. And we have one more person that's gonna come up. Tom is the area rep for CMA. Come and share a little bit with us, a little more about CMA and a little bit about yourself.
Good morning, everybody. If you would happen to be at a CMA event and somebody hands me a bike, most of the CMAers go, time to sit back and relax because I love to share from my heart. And I really have not prepared what I need to share, but I've talked with Pastor Josh this morning and we talked earlier this week. And the Lord is really, he's done a lot for me. First of all, he died on a cross for me. This is who I am. I'm probably not going to be able to talk fluently at times because I let God flow through my heart so deeply that I lose control of my emotions. And for years, I struggled with that. Because in the world's eyes, a man is not supposed to cry. A man is not supposed to show emotion. But I'll tell you what, a godly man has to be able to show emotion because of what Christ did for us. Because of what Father God did for us, he sent his only begotten Son that any one of us who believe in him can be saved. Doesn't matter what our past is. Doesn't matter our sins. We can be saved. When I first started riding motorcycle, my brother-in-law bought me a bike, or I bought a bike, but we bought it in boxes, literally. I am not a mechanic. He put it together for me. And he called me up and said, your bike is done. And I'm like, great, I'll stop in tomorrow to pick it up. I'm not going to be around. Well, what do I got to do? He told me one down and four up. Now, if you ride a motorcycle, you know what that means. If you don't ride a motorcycle, you got no clue what that means. That means when the bike is in neutral, you start the bike, and then you put your hand in a clutch, and you push the foot lever down once. It puts you in first gear. Up the next four times, it brings you up into fifth gear. I couldn't get it out of the driveway. It took me probably a half a dozen tries. And then I'm on the road and I'm still not really driving. The bike gets stalled. I start it back up. And I finally get to drive it. But I pull a wheelie and I slide off the seat and I run down the road with the bike, put the bike back down on two tires and I slide on the seat and I drive the next 10 miles to Algoma. And I'm late for a solo ensemble concert and my friends who were singing with me, they were not happy with me. They rescheduled for a little bit time later, but they were not happy with me. But that's how I started riding a motorcycle. And this same brother-in-law who put that bike together for me, several years later heard of a thing called Christian Motorcyclist Association, and he was going to join. And I went, you know, I need a place to ride and people to ride with, so I want to join. And I waited a while, and a couple years later, I joined. And when I joined, I didn't do anything. I became a CMA member, really didn't ride with too many people. I didn't click with anybody in my local chapter. But we started going back to some of the CMA events in 2001, and we had joined in 98. 3 years I did nothing. But in 2001, I went to a CMA event, and I met one young man. Well, he's my age at the time, and still is my age, because we both get older at the same time. And I went, you know, I think that Mark guy probably is pretty cool. He seems cool. He's got tattoos. I don't. But, you know, he seemed like a guy that I'd like to get to know. And my wife said the same thing. You know, I think I'd like to get to know Mark a little better. That's the reason we became active in CMA. Not because of knowing that we spread the gospel, but because of a friendship. And through that friendship, I became active in CMA. And at one time, we did a Run for the Sun, which was the promo earlier. And I caught the vision of what CMA really meant. And it really means that I can take the passion I have for riding a motorcycle. I got a 2016 Indian Roadmaster outside that's got 81,760 some miles on it. I ride my bike. I don't let it sit in my garage. It's dirty. I washed it a week ago. But God took that passion of me being able to ride the bike and the passion that I have for my Lord and Savior. And there's a ministry out there for me to be able to take those two things that I love to do, and I'm able to share the gospel with people. And CMA has taught us that when we go to a restaurant, we'll ask our waitress, you know, do you have any prayers? And there are times they say yes, there are times they say no. But if they say yes, we pray with them. We try to pray with them. Sometimes they're too busy. But other times they're not, and we actually can pray with them, and we can pray with them. And it's just a blessing. I'm going to give you a word, form. Okay? The word form, we use the letters F. And I just lost what F means. What does it mean? Thank you. Now I got it. Thank you. I'm so glad my CMA family's here. But the word, we speak to people and we talk with them. And we don't walk up to somebody, a stranger, and go, can I pray with you? Normally they're going to talk. No, who are you? Are you a Jesus freak? So we talk to them about their family. And while they're talking, we listen. And if they happen to mention a sister who is sick, we'll remember that. And then we'll bring up the letter O, which is occupational. Well, what do you do for a living? And well, how's your job going? And if they mention something about their job that needs prayer, we remember that. And R stands for... recreation. And I know this by heart, and I'm losing it. But we bring up recreation. What do you do for fun? And they talk about it, and we think, and we catch little pieces. And at the end, it's M for anybody guess that's not CMA. Motorcycles. We talk about motorcycles. But when we get done kind of going through this, and I literally, when I first started talking to people, I'd be going, family. So how's your family doing? Da da da. Oh, okay, occupation. And I would literally go through those letters to be able to ask people and get to know them a little bit better. And when we were done, we'd go, well, I remember you saying something about your sister, and you were saying you were having a hard time at work. Can I pray with you about that? And that is when the doors open, because you have given them an opportunity to talk to you, but you listened. And if you listen to people, they know that you care. And you have an open door to pray. Now, you can use the word for. If you're in a motorcycle, use form. But remember that. And just, it's a great way to share the gospel. And it gives you that opportunity to open a door that a lot of times is closed for most people. And it's just a blessing that, for me, having a ministry that takes a passion for riding motorcycle and a passion I have for my Lord and Savior, to be able to just share the love I have. Me and Pastor prayed earlier, and I had said, I want to speak what the Holy Spirit wants me to speak, and I want to stop when he tells me to stop. And he's done speaking to me to share from you. So I don't want to say anything that would actually be of me and actually not let you draw as close to the Lord as maybe you are right now. So I'm going to pray. Lord, I just ask that you let your Spirit flow through everyone who is here. Lord, that they feel your love maybe deeper than they have before. Lord, maybe for the first time in their life they go, what is that love that he feels that he can't speak without tearing up? What does that love mean? Lord, open hearts. And Lord, you will not force our hearts open. So, Father God, I pray that we allow our hearts to be open to you. And that we allow you to draw closer to us. And Lord, through it, our lives can be changed. And Lord, through that we would have the opportunity to lead somebody through what we have. And I ask these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks so much, Tom. Appreciated that very much. I just wanted to, let's go. Isn't it good to hear people share their hearts? Is it good to listen to testimonies and really see someone whose lives have been changed by Jesus? And if you pick it up on what each person said, especially what Tom says, it's things that we can do even if we aren't riding a motorcycle, right? These are things that every single Christian has been called to, and CMA is doing this really neat thing. They're finding this lane, and they're sticking in that lane. They're saying, this is our passion, this is a thing that God's given us, a talent, and it is a talent, okay? I can barely ride a bicycle, let me just tell you, okay? So they're saying, God's given me this talent, he's given me this passion, he's given me these things that I desire to do, but I'm not just doing them for myself, I'm doing them for him. So think about the passions and the talents that you have, the things that you love to do, your hobbies, your lifestyle, whatever it is, how are you allowing God to use you in the midst of those passions, those desires, those talents? If you're just doing it for yourself, fine, that's great. But could it be better? Could God be using you to touch other people's life? Watching that video, hearing Tom talk, hearing Tim, and I'm just wowed. I mean, they gave away a camel, right? It's amazing what God's people can do when God's power is behind it. It's amazing to think about all the things in this world that God wants to do with his church. And guess what? If you're sitting here and you put your trust in Jesus Christ, if he's your Lord and Savior, if you understood that Jesus came, here's the gospel, by the way. He left heaven, perfect, spotless, incredible heaven. He left heaven to come to dirty, rotten earth, to die for some dirty, rotten people. Live this perfect, sinless life, something you and I could never even dream of doing. He did that for you and for me so that we could have a relationship with God. He did that for you and for me so that we could have peace with God. He did that for you and for me so that we could have eternal life with him. And Jesus, he died on the cross. He didn't stay dead. He rose again from the grave, conquered sin, conquered death, conquered those habits you have, conquered those things that you struggle with, conquered everything. And he gave you the ability to live with God. He gave you the ability to have peace with God. He gave you the ability to live righteously. Righteously, that's a big word, but what does it mean? It means right in God's eyes. Something you and I could never do on our own. So if that's you, if you say, yes, I put my trust in Jesus. Yes, he is my Lord and my Savior. Yes, that's you. Then I want you to look around and see the other people that are saying that as well. It doesn't matter if you have leather on or not. You're a part of the family of God. It doesn't matter if you're part of a bike club or a chess club. You're a part of the family of God. And that's special. That's something that goes well beyond anything that we could ever contrive on our own. My son, he loves motorcycles. And we've been pumping him up for this day for like a month, it seems like. And we're going to go see the motorcycles. There's going to be a lot of motorcycles at church. Last week, he comes to church and goes, motorcycles? So, no, that's next week, right? So he loves motorcycles. And it's so much that like we'll be in a restaurant and we'll hear rum, rum, rum. And he'll turn. He can't see it, but he goes, motorcycle. Right? So he wanted to bring his bike in today. And he actually did. He rode it inside to the church. He didn't walk in. He rode in. But the neat thing was we were playing the other day, and he's on his little bike. He's two, by the way. That's why it's so small. And he gets off of it, and he goes, Daddy, ride bike. I go, that's not going to work, bud. I can't fit on that thing. And I said, that's your bike. And he goes, Eli's bike. I go, yeah, it's Eli's bike. He goes, Daddy, ride Eli's bike. So I will not recreate it, but I did get on my knees and satisfy my little boy, because who could say no to him? And let me tell you, it got me a lot more confident, you know. I said I can barely ride a bicycle, so I got a lot more confident. I said, what do you think, buddy, what do you think if I roll up to church and park the bike right next to all the other bikes? And he goes, motorcycle. It was a great conversation. But anyway, I'm thinking about that, right? I'm thinking about this little boy and his concept of a bike. And can you imagine if you went out there and you pulled up this morning and you see all the bikes that are really cool looking, you see them all lined up and you're going through and you're like, oh, this is a bike, and then this is another bike, and this is numbers and stuff. I don't know what I'm talking about, right? He says one down, four up. I'm like, push-ups? Right? I don't know. But you're going through all the bikes and you get to this one and you go, that just doesn't fit. It looks kind of silly, doesn't it? Imagine how silly it would look compared to all those other bikes. And unfortunately, we as Christians, a lot of times, we fall into that category as well. Because we try to fit in to the world around us. We try to do things that make us seem cool or seem like we fit. Maybe we're at work and there's talk that's going around in the water cooler or whatever it is. And guys are saying this and guys are saying that. And we know in our heart, that's not me. But maybe we join in a little bit just to fit in. Maybe we're taking our toy bike to the big motorcycle rally. And we pull up and we just don't look the same. There's a reason for that. Because in Romans chapter 12, it tells us this. It says in verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. Far too many believers in Jesus Christ are being conformed to this world. Far too many believers in Jesus Christ are trying to fit in to the world. And if God has called us to be holy like he is holy, that means he's set us apart. And if he's set us apart, that means that he's set us apart for a purpose. And so if we try to be conformed to the world, you know what it is? It looks like a person that's alive showing up to a graveyard and laying down and saying, I'm just like the rest of you. Does that make any sense? Doesn't. It's a silly picture. But unfortunately, we do it way too often, don't we? We mock it. We're making fun of it right now, but how many times in our life do we find ourselves just going along with the crowd? How many times do we find ourselves in our life just doing what everybody else is doing? The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. God's calling us to be different. So let's embrace that difference. God's calling us to be weird. I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of my friends that are non-believers call me weird. When I got saved, all my friends left me. Overnight, they're like, Josh is into the Jesus thing. No, we're done with him. I lost all my friends. And then when I started to make more friends, they would call me weird because I was a Christian. And you know what? I've learned to embrace the weird. Because God has made me different. So to a dead and dying world, someone who's alive, I look weird. To a lost world, someone who is found, they look weird. To a world that is helpless and hopeless, we who have hope, we look weird. I really appreciated sharing about this last year and the rally and how people wanted a hug during COVID. You know what this last year should have taught us? This last year should have been the shining moment for the church. This last year should have been the moment where we as believers in Jesus Christ stood up and say, you are all scared, but we have hope. This should have been a time where we as the church could stand out. Unfortunately, I feel like in America, we may have lost the lead there. But it's not too late. As believers, we can be transformed by the Holy Spirit, making us different, embracing the weird, saying, no, I'm not going to conform to this world. In Ephesians chapter 5, we read this. Look carefully, starting in verse 15. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. I love that phrase. I love those words. Making the best use of the time. How many of us know that we have tomorrow? How many of us know that we have till the end of the day? The days are evil. There's a lot going on in our world. There's a lot that we face. And we need to make the best use of time. So as weird believers who are not conforming but are transformed, we ought to stand up and take every single opportunity, making the best use of every moment that we have. There's a story, D.L. Moody, famous evangelist, started Moody Bible Institute. And by the way, he didn't call it Moody Bible Institute. It was only named for him after he died. I want to make that point clear because I don't want him to seem like he had this big head. I'm going to name my school after me. No. He was in Chicago, and he was there preaching evening service, and he gets to that point where it's the climax. He's about to talk about the good news of the gospel, and they ran out of time, which we're about to do as well. But he ran out of time, and he said, you know what, come back next week, and we'll hear more about this Jesus. Come back next week and finish. If you're interested in Jesus, come back next week. You know what was later that night? The Great Chicago Fire. And every single day of his life after that, D.L. Moody said, I'm never, ever going to waste an opportunity ever again. Never going to say, come back next week. I'm going to get it done that week. As you guys are riding, as you guys are driving, as you're walking, as you're living your life, no matter how you're living your life, if God gives you an opportunity, do not waste it. God gives you an opportunity, you better be making the best use of time. I love the phraseology, look carefully then how you walk. It's a reminder that even if we believe in Jesus, even if he is our Savior, even if we've come to church time and time again, even if we're old in this, we're old believers, we've been saved for so long, I got this. We still have the reminder, look carefully how you walk. Because your choices, they matter. How you live your life, it matters. How you speak to that stranger matters. how you respond to somebody with your nonverbals when they cut you off, it matters. How you talk to your kids and your grandkids, that matters. How you respond to your spouse, that matters. What happens in here, it really does matter. God calls us to not be conformed, but to be transformed. Looking carefully how we're walking and making the best use of every moment. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, this Jesus thing sounds great. It's not really my thing, but it sounds pretty neat. I want to encourage you. You also need to make the best use of time. Because you don't know what tomorrow may bring. Maybe you're sitting here and you've put your trust in Jesus many years ago, and you just haven't been living for him. You've just kind of been coasting along, putting in neutral. There you go, got the right phraseology. Maybe you're just gliding by in life and you're just thinking, well, everything's kind of okay right now. The house is paid for, and you know, I'm doing good financially, and I'm feeling good. I got to encourage you and let you know, you're never going to be good without Jesus. You may feel okay, but don't we know that feelings, they're fleeting? Don't we know that feelings, they come and they go? The only way we could have peace, the only way we can have lasting joy is with Jesus. And so if you're not living for him today, I want to encourage you, you got to do it today. You don't know what tomorrow may bring. So I'm going to have the band come up, if you don't mind. And here in a few moments, they're going to be playing some songs. They're going to be strumming along. And I want us to just take a few moments and just talk to our God. If you're sitting here and you don't know Jesus, I got to remind you again of what I said earlier. He left heaven for you. And if you're sitting here and you're thinking, oh, well, I'm a good person. I'm okay. Jesus, thanks for doing that, but I didn't really need you. I got to tell you, you're wrong. You're as wrong as you could ever be. Because the Bible tells us that everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us has turned away from him and gone our own way. Every single one of us is an enemy of God. And if you're sitting here and you're thinking, yeah, I've heard that before. I've heard it right here in this church. I've heard Josh say those words before, but I've never taken that step. You got to take that step. If you're sitting here today and you're saying, yes, Jesus, he's great, but I've never fully put my trust in him. I don't really know what that means. Is it just a feeling? Is it just something? What is it? I'm going to encourage you to talk to him right now. You can come forward and we could pray with you if you want. You can stay seated. The neat thing about our God is he's omnipresent. It means he's everywhere, all the time. And so if you want to do business with him at your seat, you can. If you want to do business with him up here, you can. But I want to encourage you, don't let this time go by without doing business with God. Because Jesus, he loves you. He wants to have a relationship with you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what you're doing right now, what you're going through right now. God loves you. And he loves you more than you could even ever imagine. And he's giving you life. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So there goes that myth. Maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, yeah, Jesus is great. So is this. So is that. There are many ways to heaven. There are many paths to get on the right. No, there's not. Jesus says he's the only way. It's only through him. So I'm going to invite us all to maybe just bow our heads. I'm not going to do the raise your hand thing. But let's just all just bow our heads and close our eyes and let's just talk to God. Because if you don't know him, you need to get to know him. And if you do know him, but it's been a while, you need to say, Lord, I need you. I'm sorry. I need you to help me to live for you. I'm done being conformed to this world. I'm done wasting time. I'm done doing things my own way. Lord, I need you. And if you're sitting here and you don't know Jesus, just talk to him. It's as simple as that. There's no magic spell. Isn't this incredible thing where you have to say the right words in the right order? No, you just talk to Jesus. He's that big. He's that powerful. If you don't know how to talk to him, you just start. Just have faith in him. Trust him and him alone. Say, Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know I deserve hell. I deserve eternity apart from you. But you love me. You love me so much that you left perfect heaven to come here for me. Jesus, thank you. I need you. Help me to live today for you. I put my trust in you. I admit that I can't do this life thing on my own. I will never be able to do life on my own. Can't do anything without you, Jesus. Would you be my Lord? Would you show up and be my Savior? Thank you for the salvation that I could have in you. The band is going to sing a song here. And as we're singing, if you want to come up and if you want to pray with somebody, I'm here. There's plenty of other people that are here that would love to pray with you as well. If that's you coming for the first time and say, I put my trust in Jesus for the first time ever, and I am so excited for this, you can come, you can pray. If you're coming up and you say, it's been a couple years, it's been a long time, I need to make my relationship right with Jesus today, you can come pray too. Maybe you're saying, I'm okay. My relationship with Jesus is strong, it's good, but I want it to be better. I want to go from good to great. You can come pray too. Let's take a few moments, and as they sing, let's just pray. Let's talk to our God.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The chains of God, I've been set free. God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending power, amazing grace.
We thank you, Lord, for who you are. Lord, I pray that you will work in us. Lord, you know our hearts. You know each and every one of our stories. You know us better than we know ourselves. So, Father, I pray that you would continue work in us. Would you use us, Lord? Would you draw us closer to yourself? Lord, let us say no to conforming to this world. Let us say no to the lies of this world and the lies of the enemy. Lord, let us say no and let us say yes to you. Lord, allow us to walk in a deep relationship with you. Allow us to do what you've called us to do. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's get out there and let's shout about it, okay? Let's let this world know that we are his. But first, let's go eat, okay? So when we get out there, let's make sure that this world knows that we belong to him. I'm going to pray for the food. And once again, if you see somebody working on the grill or in the kitchen or something, give them a thanks. They've really worked hard, and we're very thankful for them. But there are still coffee and donuts and various goodies out there. And then if you move past those doors right out there, I believe that there is a feast. And so let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we thank you for your salvation that you give to us through Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we will live every single day of our lives for you, that we will tell this world, that we'll shout about it, that we belong to you. Father, thank you for the change that you've made in each of us. And Lord, we thank you so much that you have called us out of the dominion of darkness into your kingdom of light. Lord, I pray that as we continue to fellowship and get to know one another and be the body of Christ together, Lord, would you bless our conversations? Will you bless this food and the hands that prepared it? And Lord, would you allow us to just truly continue to deepen our walk with you and enjoy the time that we have with each other? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.